I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
You know, I'm sure there's someone sitting in the audience today that's probably a little, I don't know what the word would be. I don't think embarrassed would be the proper word to use. But, you know, anytime you have new technology and use things, you know, you end up sometimes with this here. And, you know, I can see myself doing that. You know, it's like, oh, man, I know. But it's... How many of you caught that? All right. So it was flying under the radar a minute ago, huh? Well, anyways, it's one thing I learned to do a long time ago was to be able to laugh at myself. That's how I maintain some sort of sanity. Anyways, today, as we try to do every year, we try to lay out what was accomplished in the old year and to try and give us a vision as to what the new year will bring. Normally, we try to do this in January, but one thing I've noticed as I get older, the years go faster, so it's already February. But, you know, we are aware that there has been some confusion over what we are wanting to do and perhaps some fear that we want to focus on a single group at to the neglect of others. But today, hopefully, we'll be able to answer some of these fears, and we can all leave with a hope of a bright and challenging future for the church here at Ventura. The leadership recognizes that we are not perfect, and in fact, because we are not a group of elders, that has become an issue for some. But this is something that is on our hearts, and it's addressed frequently. And our goal has always been to have elders in place here. And we hope to perhaps accomplish that in this current year. But in the meantime, we continue to serve God the best as we can. Over a year ago now, we began to look at the church here in Ventura. And it became obvious that we were a church that was in decline. I mean, our membership has stayed steady. But as we look around, we can see that our group was aging. Many of our kids had grown up and many had moved away to find careers in other parts of the country or perhaps to find a place that was more affordable to live where they could settle and raise a family. Others still, though, are still in the county and have walked away from the church. And this is a trend that has been going on for some time. And our fear has always been that we would become the church of Sardis or Laodicea that's spoken about in Revelations, where God comes and finds us lacking, and he decides to remove our lampstand and leaves us to blow away as dust. We can see that in this county alone that several churches of Christ have gone away. As we've talked about growth, though, some have shown a fear or expressed a fear of concerns where the church might get larger, where we don't know everyone that's here. And if this happens, then we will praise God. But it may not happen. As we spread the gospel here and bring the lost to Christ, they may still move on and be involved in churches other places. Many of you know John Dennison, for instance, who's currently living in Nevada. And we know he is serving God there, and we praise God for that. But we have chosen to encourage and support the young adults. And there are some reasons for that. First of all, research shows us that only 5% of people make a major change in their philosophy of life after they've passed the age of 32. My dad used to use the phrase that, in referring to some people, that they were old stick in the mud. And perhaps that's where that came from, because at some point we get stuck in our ways. But as we look around our congregation here, the young adults are the ones that are usually bringing the others to church. They're the ones that are bringing them to their groups and having studies with them. And we need to nurture them in this process. Another advantage we have is we have a college that's only a few blocks from here where there are approximately 15,000 young people that meet there. And only half of them say they want to leave the area to pursue other studies or come from other areas. So we want to encourage that group to spread. In the process, we all will be edified. We all will be lifted up. We all will be involved in the body. And that's what we want to talk about today. For we have been talking about one time for a while that we are one, O-N-E. And this means that we are organized, we are nurturing, and we want to be externally focused. And so we're going to talk about these things today to show where we are headed and the plans that have been laid out for us, where we can all participate and be a part of the body. Now, one thing that we do on this day, and I want to present that now, is we do talk about that thing called money. Because, as we all know, the church requires money to exist. As we help people in the community, it requires funds, requires the ability to provide for certain things. And I'm not going to belabor it a lot because it's usually pretty boring to listen to someone talk about funds. But I will say that in 2011, the church here was very generous, and we did make our budget. We contributed something over $1,200 a month in helping people in the community and needs things that they needed. We are supporting several mission works outside the area. And I feel that these things will grow in the coming years. People are going to become more needy as the economy continues to struggle along. And there will be opportunities for us to reach out and touch those people that need help, all in the name of Christ. The budget has not changed much from previous years, and I do want to let you know that if you would like a copy of it, just see me. I have copies available so that you can see where we've been and what we have planned for this coming year. So now we will get into being one.
Thank you, Jim. I'm going to Italy in September. Congregatio. I'm sure that means something that I probably don't want to know the answer of. So, what I'm going to do is focus on organization. And to do that, I'd like to start with just a quick scripture reading. And this is from Colossians 2, 1 and following. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that we may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that we may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. And the orderly part is I'm stretching it to organization, and that's the thing that we want to do, and put our faith firmly in Christ and do those things that we can do. We don't have but a choice but to continue to do outreach. That is the plan. That is God's decision. That is why we are here. So one of those ways that we wanted to talk about doing this is if you got this list, you'll see on the very top, there's an item called the story. Starting mid-April, April 15th to be exact, we're going to be doing a study, which is single topic, multi-class, multiple age groups on a single storyline. And we're starting at the beginning of the Bible, and we'll go through the end of the Bible. It'll be 31 teachings covering 26 Old Testament stories and 26 New Testament stories. The one thing that is most important about this, and it's written by Max Lucado and some other people, one of the things that's written in this curriculum is that every single age group that day in a Bible class on Sunday will receive the same story. Now, at preschool level, it'll be on their level. At high school level, it'll be preschool level. No, I'm just kidding. At high school level, it'll be high school. At adult, it will be adult. At senior, it'll be senior. At maturity, it will be maturity. It will be the same all through middle school, etc. And the point is that Dave will also follow, before I get to what, Dave will also follow with a sermon which collaborates with what we're doing. The point is that we will all have a topic, and if we have children, grandchildren, parents, whatever, we have something to discuss. And we'll be moving through this whole curriculum at the same time. Okay? Now, there will be breaks occasionally, and the breaks will take place because there's a specific time that we'll be needing to talk and addressing the congregation on a topic from here that will be different. So we'll take a break. We may have 6 sessions of the story, take a break for 2 sessions, go back and start on session number 7, 8, 9, 10. We'll be meeting with the all Bible school teachers and helpers in the near future, and that's the 19th, and explain how this works, and then also provide some other curriculum to support when we're off that topic. This will be the common thread of what we're trying to do. It's the same thing we're trying to do with Vacation Bible School, is create a common thread of information through all the age levels, from 7th grade down to preschool. So it is the direction of the leadership that we've been trying to find something like this, and with help from a lot of people here and some other import of curriculum that we've received and some choices we'll make later today with Vacation Bible School, we'll be able to achieve that. We're trying to put together in that resource, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is the plan for our teachers. For many years, we've always had to choose teachers, and it's difficult. It's hard to find people that can teach on a regular basis. So I've come up with something old and renamed it with a new name. It's called CTS, and that means co-teacher support. So what we would like to do when we're doing, we'll say when we're doing the story, is every teacher will have a co-teacher support. Now, this is someone who will help that teacher during the sessions that they're doing with the Bible school education on the story. If some person has a responsibility, say in the adult class, for a period of 6 sessions, well, for only 4 of those sessions or 2 of those sessions, someone will be a co-teacher support person, which will do something as simple as, let's say I'm teaching and I say, Gary, would you read the scripture from here? Or if there's an historical portion that might need to be added, Jim, would you take this and would you read, would you study a little bit about the historical portion so you can bring this back when I'm doing the teaching, and I'll take a break and you explain that, and then we'll get back to the lesson. What that will do is allow us to, for people that are somewhat afraid to get up in front of people, it's a very simple thing. It's an opportunity to be mentored. It'll take away that fear. I've said before, I'm not comfortable being up here. You're an introvert forced to be an extrovert for the purpose of serving God. And as hard as that seems, it's easier the more you do it. The other thing is we'll be putting together small groups, and we'll be working on those specifically. And the more important thing is for people who haven't been involved in an organizational type of coordination, you know, on a large scale with large companies or large public agencies or whatever, it's really a simple facility or facilitating type of thing. So we want to work with each of you when we get to those things. Things that that will work as we discussed earlier this morning, and we'll talk about those later. Putting together our activity groups within and across generations. That's something that we want to do as a way of getting to know each other better, as the small groups. Both of those activities, of either doing activities together or small groups, for a small church, it helps you to better know people that you may not have participated with before in here, so that you can collaborate later and do other types of work. For a large church, let's say we grow to a point that we're uncomfortable, as long as you have small groups and you rotate the small groups, you get an opportunity to stay connected with everybody. And that's what I think we're afraid of when we grow. And it's one of those things that can be easily achieved through small groups. Also, it's an opportunity to do training, education, coordination, mentoring, whatever we need to do during that period of time. And some of those will take place during what traditionally have been Bible training. You know, maybe on a Wednesday evening we break into a group and we facilitate something while we still have Bible classes, but something else that's going to follow to help support the church. And then finally, the growth team to work with young adults on their abilities, their activities, and their initiatives. And the reason we focused on the young adults is because, as Jim said, the churches are graying. The churches are getting older. We have an outstanding opportunity with the college here, and we have the ability and the talent and the people and the conviction of a group that was willing to work to accomplish this. It's going to require all of us to take care of each of our generations. But on the other hand, we need our young adults to help us work to bring younger in so that these churches continue to serve the Lord until He comes. Thank you.
In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus said this to His closest followers: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you always to the very end of the age." We often look at that very, very familiar text and think of that as the Great Commission. What we may not realize at the same time, or think about really at the same time, is that it's not only Jesus' Great Commission, it's Jesus' Great Commandment. His command to do that is to all of His followers, both then and always. If we're Jesus' followers, Christians, then we must go and make disciples or followers, people who will listen to and learn from and obey Christ. If we'll intentionally disciple our children in our homes as they're growing up, then they will grow in their faithfulness to Jesus. And if the congregation, this congregation in particular, carefully supplements what we're doing in our home in that discipling effort, then our children's spiritual growth will be even more. And that is nurture. If we're Jesus' followers, we must go out of our homes, into our communities, and beyond to both disciple and to baptize people, to take away their sins and to unite them with Christ. This must be our intentional way of life personally, but it must also be mirrored congregationally. Jesus' follower, Paul, wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verses 14 and 15, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again." Our constant goal must be seeking opportunities to share the saving news of Jesus, both individually and as a congregation. If you and I allow any kinds of excuses, any kinds of comforts, anything that's within our power, and most things are, aren't they? If we allow any of those things to block us from reaching out to others with God's love, with Christ's sacrificial love, then we're lacking in Christ-like love ourselves. We must develop the attitude that Paul had when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19 and on through verse 23, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings." If we're Christ's followers, then we must teach all of Jesus' commands to those that we disciple and baptize. Becoming a baptized disciple is just the beginning of our life with Christ. And so you and I, who are seasoned Christians, have that responsibility and that opportunity to teach those growing Christians about Christ-like living, about God, and about His worship and the work that He has in store for us, the work that Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 2, that God has planned in advance for us to do. The purpose of this diligent teaching is nurture. It's what Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verses 12 through 13 when he says that God has provided a variety of spiritual gifts in people to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so Jesus' commission and command is for you and I who are Christians to attract people to Christ, to baptize people into Christ, and to build people up in Christ. You and I must prioritize and organize our lives to do these things. These must be our congregation's focus as a whole. We all know all of this, and this congregation has a rich history in doing these things. But quite frankly, we all know it's been a while. It's been too long a while. It's time we do them again. Amen? You know, in talking about changes and talking about how scary that might be, I want to share with you some hopeful changes that I have. And some of those hopes are already at work. One of those things that's already at work is a Bible study at Poinsettia Gardens. And my hope is that is not just a study for our members who happen to live out there, but that draws and attracts people who are non-believers, not only to that group and to those people, but that it draws them here and that they become Christians too. Isn't that a hope that we can all share in? I have a hope that there will be devotionals that will start developing at one or more of our convalescent hospitals in this city that draws people here to Christ and to salvation. Don't you share that hope as well? Isn't that the kind of change that we would all like to see happen? I have a hope because of something that Lois Titus has done. She's brought us an evangelistic tool that has been used very effectively elsewhere. I have a hope that there will be a core of people, and all it will take is a half dozen to a dozen people at most to make this work, that will draw people to Christ and draw them here, will draw them to salvation. Don't you hope as well that whether it's that tool or some other tool or a variety of tools all at work at the same time, that we can be more effective in reaching out to people in this community? Amen? I have a hope that activity groups of all different kinds will bring in non-Christian friends of all ages. You know, Joe Johnson loves bowling, and he takes delight in bowling. And he's met people at the bowling alley who he's allowed to know that he's a Christian. But I got to talking with Jimmy Ewald, and I found out that somebody who's quite a bit younger than Joe also enjoys bowling, and he's got a group of young adult friends, and I can imagine them going together. Now, can you imagine what will happen when they do? The first thing is that people that Joe knows at the bowling alley will say to Joe, "Oh, are those your grandkids? Are those your kids?" And Joe will say, "No, they're not related to me at all, except through Christ. And the same thing will happen to Jimmy and his other friends that are going, who's that old guy with you? And they'll say, well, that's a guy I know from church. And they'll draw people of all ages together, won't they? Because they'll see, here's some people who are diverse in age, but who share a love of the Lord as well as some kind of sport. I have a dream that will bring people to Christ. I'm hopeful that there will be a development of small groups that will invite not just their fellow Christians, but non-Christians of all ages, and so that there can be this cross-pollination of spirituality and of experience and of wisdom and of knowledge that will enrich everybody, and that all of those will find their way to Christ. I have a hope that there will be classes and seminars on marriage and parenting and finances and other topics that are for the church, but also for the community. And little by little, those will draw in people that don't know Christ and that they'll come to know Him as well. Don't you have the hope that we can reach out in those kinds of ways as well? I have the hope that there will be meaningful work done to meet community needs that will draw people, that will cause people to say, what are those people about that go out, take their own time at their own expense, and go do things for other people that they don't know because they need those things done for them? That they'll start inquiring and saying, if that's the kind of people they are, I want to know them, I want to be a part of them, I want to know this Christ that they know. I have a dream that there will be prayer groups that focus on internal needs as well as external opportunities. And that's the kind of change as well as all of those other changes that we need. Amen? That's the kind of dream that I have. A congregational mindset that aggressively seeks to save souls. That's the kind of change that I'm hoping and praying that will come about in this congregation in the very near future. And that's the kind of thing that we need to be nurturing. Amen? You know, each of us must be fully committed to Jesus' commission and command for the sake of people's souls. Each of us has valuable roles to play in these things using the spiritual gifts and the backgrounds and the personalities and the knowledge that each of us has learned uniquely. What Jesus commissioned and what Jesus commanded, Jesus enables and Jesus blesses. And that's something that has to be nurtured within this congregation. That we come to believe that we come to know that that's true because we come to see it in action. Jesus ended his commission and his command with his promise of constant presence. Paul wrote about this spreading the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 when he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Our faith must be in God and not what we see within ourselves individually or even congregationally. We must see above and beyond to the power of God to work in us and through us and if necessary around us to His honor and glory and to the accomplishment of His purposes. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to step up to Jesus' commission and command. Let's step out in faith that God will enable us to do what He's called us to do. Let's attract and baptize and further teach with greater effort and greater wisdom and greater urgency than we ever have before in the history of this congregation. Let's be a people who are willing to be all things to all people in order to save just some. Let's be a people who are so compelled by Jesus' sacrificial love of us that we live sacrificially and selflessly and uncomfortably in order to reach everyone we can with Jesus' saving love. Is that something we can all say amen to? Amen.
Well, thanks, Dave. That's a hard act to follow. I wanted to add one thing, though, too. We've had some conversations with the young adults and with Joe Tipps, and the desire that our youth forum this year is something that is an outreach to the community around us. In the past, we've invited congregations from other areas, other cities, and they've come and joined us. Well, this last year, we almost filled this building with teenagers, and our hope is that we can reach some of the local teenagers that aren't attending this coming year and see if we can't maybe burst this building so that us old folks have a hard time getting and finding a seat. Lastly, I want to discuss being externally focused. There's many things that are going on that aren't directly involved with our worship services or our class time here. We have many Bible studies that are apart from the church. We have some older ones that have already been mentioned that are meeting together, and we hope that expands to non-Christians. We also have several young adult Bible studies that are going on right now in different homes where those that are new in the faith or are not yet committed themselves to Christ are involved. We also have mixed Bible studies that we're hopeful to get started with men and women together. Could be men only, as Ben has at his house, and we like to expand on those things. Another thing we are externally focused on is the City of Children, where we support, now we support, the church supports three orphans that are down there. And I know Bruce and Carolyn have a presentation of that that's coming soon. We also have a connection through the City of Children with a group called Baja Missions. And Baja Missions has planted churches in Baja, California. They currently have 10 that they have started. And one of the things that Bruce is in the process of talking with them about is how we can, some of us can spend a week down there and help support of planting churches in Baja, California. We also are supporting Rodrigo Mendieta in Cuernavaca, where he is actively involved in a deaf ministry with a church there. We recently received notice that he has started a new group with some young adults that are all deaf that they're studying with. He's also had several conversions lately of a few families that are willing to be actively involved in that. So God is working in that area, and we are helping and support that mission. Also, we want to continue, as has been mentioned, to reach out to the community through various activities that's here. We mentioned that Ventura College has many souls that are there, and we're looking for ways that we might reach out to them. It might require tutors, dollar expenditures, food, or some staffing. There's also been some movie nights that have been set up, either with homes or the building. There's ways that we can continue to reach out and to involve the community that comes around us. All this requires us to be engaged. All of this requires for us to find out ways where we can be involved and actively help these works. As Dave read several of the passages on Paul, you know, Paul was actively looking for ways that he could be involved and be engaged in saving souls. And that is our command to us. That is our direction. That is what we should be looking to do. Sometimes we can do it personally. Sometimes we can help and support in other ways to get those things, have those things be accomplished. But it's an imperative that we are engaged ourselves, because you're not responsible for my salvation. I'm responsible for my own. And God has given us a command to spread His gospel to the lost, to seek them out, and to help them to be saved if we can. One thing that is important is that we are together, that we continue to pray for each other, to pray for the work that is here, to pray for opportunities. And then when those opportunities present themselves, to pray for the wisdom and the strength to see that we take advantage of them. As we close here today, we offer the opportunity for you, if you need prayers to strengthen your own spiritual walk, if you need prayers for something you're struggling with, if you need us to encourage, to rally around, to support you in some way, we want to make that available. If you wish to put your Lord on in baptism today, that opportunity is also available. Any way that we can help, we want to do that. If you would just come forward while we stand and sing the invitation song.